You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hi, everyone. Sorry about the delay.
Okay.
Hello, Detroit.
Can you hear me?
Hang on. You're going to need to put your headphones on, I think.
Okay. Oh, right.
To be able to be heard.
Here, let's pass the gentleman his things.
Oh, Lee,
you're not on the picture. Do we want you to twist you?
Oh, yeah.
Twist it toward
Lee. Yeah.
There we go.
Hello, everyone.
Lee and Mickey, they're the important ones.
Yes, there we go.
Cool. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Let's just do a quick mic check.
I don't think we need to. All right, fine.
Okay.
All right, so welcome to our hot mess. This is Bros, Bitches, and Balls.
Yeah, hi. Welcome to episode 12. There ain't no prohibition against bitches doing it for themselves.
Ooh. Nicely done.
You're welcome.
Yeah, nice.
I can't find the vomit spots here.
No. He's going to splice that in.
Oh, beautiful.
Don't even worry about it. So right now, for anybody listening to us live, just realize that it'll be different once we record it or get the – it doesn't matter. Hi, welcome to Bras, Bitches, and Balls. Nick, take it away.
Hello. Welcome to Bras, Bitches, and Balls. This is episode 12. I'm Nick. Today we have Mickey, who will be talking about Prohibition Detroit, which is, like I've said, a kind of afterglow from the discussion we had last week. And we, as is common now, have Lisa and Deka, who I think are neck and neck. And here's Lee.
Hi, welcome to Bras, Bitches, and Balls. It's cold outside. That's all I've got to say. It is cold outside
windy.
So if you like to wear your bras that are not super foam in the front and you don't like to have your headlights showing, come by and see a solution called Dimmers.
They're fabulous.
Dimmers are fantastic. They make any bra non-headlight. You know, in Europe, people don't really give a shit if your nipples are showing.
No, Europeans aren't so prudish.
Well, men's nipples show all the time. Who really gives a crap, right? We're not going, hey, look, your nipples. No, but here, for some reason, we have vilified nipples. So
women's nipples.
Are like evil, and you can't see them or know that they're there, so it has to be smooth. Whatever your game with your boobs is, we can solve it for you. So
we can play your boob game.
We can handle it, and we have
right
dimmers for those
boob
of
games.
Yeah, we can take care of the dimmers if that's what you need. They've been around for decades. They come in two colors. The one is pink, one is brown, and it's thicker in the middle. They're silicone. They're really, really petal, like rose petal thin on the ends.
Ooh.
So it just goes right over your nipple, makes any bra functional for.
Yes, and I have used them, and they are, you just get them a little bit wet, stick them on, and
I was
worried that they might come off, you know, because they're just basically sitting there with a little bit of moisture that looks on. They work really well.
Well, they're silicone, so they stick to you by your body heat. And they're easy. They last a long, long time.
Okay, chemistry person.
Right. She just sprinkled that science there. Well, here's the fact.
There's silicon, and here's the little chemical formula.
I didn't do that. I haven't been a chemist for a very, very long time.
But if we found you a chalkboard, you could probably show us this.
So
I don't think people know what a chalkboard is anymore.
Oh, I miss chalkboard.
Oh.
It would be a whiteboard.
It's really, really
sad.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
Well, not even whiteboards aren't used anymore. They use smart boards now. It's all a giant computer screen. Are they still out there?
Because
my kid doesn't know it. My kid just has no clue.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
The chalkboard dust.
But
something else I don't miss about teaching.
Yeah. Our priest decided to say something about nails on a chalkboard, and he said that people were looking at him like with blank stares. So he said, okay. Two pieces of styrofoam scraping together. And I just thought he was so
funny.
Someone
tweeted, what if you said something about, when you were growing up, would other people really be confused by? And I was like, party lines? My nieces don't know what a
phone is. I don't know what that is.
What is a party line?
When more than one person could be on a phone line at once.
Right.
Yeah.
Three-way calling.
Three
and four-way calling. I guess you still do
anything phone related that doesn't involve a telephone.
Not a clue. not a clue what any of that is.
Anyway, so you put your dimmers on, and then what would you put on?
So let's talk about a bra of the week real quick.
Yes, please.
So when Busted started 4 years ago, we just had our 4 year birthday anniversary, and I didn't do a big party because normally it's on Noel night, and it just all kind of snuck up on me. Next year, we will have a five year party.
Well, yeah, it'll be
a bigger milestone.
And a birthday.
And a birthday. And hopefully, we'll have a couple of locations open. To let you guys know, I'm going to Chicago Friday to see about Busted in Chicago.
Cross your fingers, everybody. Yes. Detroit takeover.
That would be great, right?
Yes.
They're asking for it. I mean, I get people who contact me and I ship bras down to Chicago constantly. So,
wow.
Yeah, Ohio needs me. Oh. Yes. Illinois needs me.
Ohio needs a lot.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everybody
needs
me. Bras. Ohio needs a lot.
Not saying anything nasty about Ohio, but they could use a few things.
So, yeah, so it'll be Chicago, then Cleveland, and yeah, so we'll just take over the Midwest. Nice. Southern girl. All right, so when we started, squirrel, when we started Busted, I needed to start with a bra that I knew would work for most bodies that I was, you know, going, saying, this is the target audience. These are the body shapes I need. What is the bra that is going to work for most people? What is going to be my most popular and is going to be under $50 walking out the door?
Affordable.
Yeah,
for most people,
humans. Okay, here we go. So this is her. This is the what we call the 60-90. She's also called Kira. She is by a company called Goddess. She goes 34 band up to a 46 band, I believe. And the cups range from a double D all the way to an N cup, as in Nancy. And it's a great design. It's been around for quite a while. The gore is not super high, but it does have four-part cups, which means that your breasts are being pulled and supported in four different ways, right? That side panel is nice. You've got the elastic here to work with whatever side boob you might have. It doesn't go so high up in your armpit most of the time, depending on your cups, that it's going to be uncomfortable. We have to work with that. It's got the sheer panel. A lot of people pull their bras here when they're putting their bras on.
Don't do that.
No. I agree. There's when you put your bras on, I recommend hooking them from the back. So putting it on like it's worn, reaching around and hooking it in the back. That way you don't stress out your wires. And then I want you to do a move called an anchor and sweep, where you hold onto the bra on the bottom in the back of your cup at one point, reach inside through the top, cup your breasts and pull it forward. That way, when you're pulling your breasts forward, you're pulling the bra backwards. It's not just moving with you. If you pull your bra from the top, all it's doing is when you move your breasts, the bra is moving too, and you're going to tear your upper panel. Mm. Those upper panels aren't meant to be pulled on.
The band anchor and sweep puts your boobs in the right place.
That's right.
Place.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Can we talk a minute about side boob? Because when you first opened and we were talking about this, everybody's like, I got fat in my side. I got all this fat. And you were like, that's still breast tissue.
That's still breast tissue.
And everybody thinks that they have this fat along their side, and it's really still part of your breast, right? Yeah, right. Like it goes further back than you think.
Yeah, bring it forward. And some women have really deep-rooted breasts, and that's why you've got to get that wire way back or go with a non-wire. And we have some non-wire options that are pretty darn comfortable.
That work for larger-breasted women?
We have it for all shapes and sizes. But you really need to try those on to make sure that it's going to fit and do the work that you need, because it's a little bit harder fit, I think. I think the bands are tighter. So a lot of times if you're normally a 40, you might want to wear a 42. It just really depends on how your body's going to act in the bra. Coming to see a professional first, I don't care where you go, but go to see someone who is an actual bra fitter that does it professionally, not just a friend. You know, in the neighborhood.
Or a random woman at an event.
A department store. The thing with department stores that really chaps my ass is you don't know if that person has worked in shoes the day before, was brought over from makeup because people were calling in sick, or if this is what they do on an everyday basis.
Right.
And most of the department stores only go to a G cup, which is great. It's bigger than other stores, right? That go stop at a double D. Okay,
some of those small stores.
But there is a huge group of people between, after G that goes all the way to an
Right. Well, you have a young lady who's a K.
Yes. And then I have another young lady who's a J, tiny, tiny bodies, young people. So, you know, it happens. But anyway, you know me. Okay. Boobs. There you go. Boobs. Sorry. We went on a boob tangent, but this is Bras, Bitches, and Balls. And
so there's the bra.
Yeah. This is
so this is the workhorse bra, Kira.
Yeah. And this is color is ink. I like it that it comes in like 5 or 6 different colors, and it's about to be released in several more skin tones. So right now I've got a yellowy beige, one that's called Fawn that's more of a pinky mauvey beige, and then chocolate. Well, there's a few different skin tone colors in between those, right? And so they're coming out with one called cinnamon and one called cappuccino, I think. So there's going to be some more options there in this bra. But it also comes in scarlet, red, and black. And I've got some patterns. And the patterned bras are $49. This one's $48. And then we can find matching panties, but they don't make a match. They make a pattern that has all the colors in it, which is nice. Sometimes it comes out in a pretty forest green. Oh, I really wish they'd do that again.
Ooh,
it was so beautiful.
This color is absolutely beautiful. Like, I kind of want this.
Yeah, that's a gorgeous
color. I still have to come and get fitted because I feel like I'm winning. I haven't forgot. Like, my schedule has just been ridiculous.
Well,
like,
make a private
appointment. I have
16-hour
days. Okay.
You could do that.
Okay.
I kind of, yeah. I mean, that's not when we're 7 days a week. It's fine to make a private appointment.
I kind of like, I need to find time before Sunday because I have a recital on Sunday and I need
you should
support.
Come today then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So
yeah, let's talk later. Okay.
I know I'm thinking. Okay. I'm
all right.
Thinking.
So Deka has an appointment. So before
so you get yours.
Before we get to our guest, I just want to say last week you gave me hanky panky, is eau de parfum or whatever roller, but
speak
I didn't even
French to me again.
Eau de parfum.
Eau de parfum.
I used to tell my sister when she was little, she's 7 years younger than me, and I was taking high school French. I'd tease her by speaking French to her, and I'd just say, "Tu es vert, you're green." And she would get so mad because she thought I was saying something mean to her. Aww. So, hey, George, if you're watching, tu es vert. but this, I didn't know Hanky Panky did any perfumes, but it's a really nice, like, florally perfume. Do you sell this in the shop?
No, we don't. It was a gift that they sent me, and I thought, oh, my friend Lisa would
you're
really
so
love
sweet.
That.
Well, you also have a gift normally for our new
I
guests.
Do, and yeah. I have it right here.
So our guest is Mickey Lyons, and Mickey is a an expert on all things Detroit Prohibition.
Ooh, Mickey.
Oh, pretty present.
So this yes. present is what we recommend to take care of your lingerie.
Nice.
And yes. That is fabulous.
This
I love
that.
This
is for hand washing and air drying your bras or underwear, and it leaves things really, really nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Friends calling me that don't know I have a podcast. Why don't they know I have a podcast?
I don't know.
Like, you're going to have to let them know. Yeah. So this is fabulous, forever new, and it's also great for like stains in like armpit areas and stuff. Like rub it on and it'll get everything out. Like she
blood.
Mentioned that to me. Mm-hmm. Back to
ink.
The true crime.
Here, I'll put it in our little
whatever bag. Kinds of stains you might have, but
so
yeah.
A little bit better than the dish soap I'm currently using.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, it's a step up from Joy.
And it's fantastic. The one thing you'll realize when you wash your bras, though, is you're like, holy hell, these get dirty. Yeah.
So every 2 or 3 washes, go ahead and wash this in cold water and hand wash. You don't have to like manipulate the bras any. You just dissolve the powder in water, throw it in. It'll do all the work. It'll also clean your silverware and your jewelry. And I've used it for cleaning up old furniture or anything
your
delicate drapes. But it's delicate, but it really does great work. It's been around forever. I've used it for like 30 years.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. I've been cleaning things for a while. So, there you go. Thanks for coming to Bras, Bitches,
and
Balls.
Yeah, well, thank you. We're sorry about the more craziness than usual, and we're normally pretty crazy. But Karen Dibas had recommended we talk to you because we had gone. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks, Karen Dibas.
We had gone to the Urgent for Sturgeon event on Belle Isle last week, and we got to have a little VIP drinks in the speakeasy that no one really knew existed. You know, you go downstairs and sneak in and have a drink. And it made us think there's a lot of cool history about Prohibition that we don't know about. I mean, you kind of hear about the Purple Gang. You kind of hear about some stuff going on, but we don't really know a whole lot about it. So we thought, let's bring the expert on.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have your own blog, too.
I do. I've got a blog. It's prohibitiondetroit.com. I have been not exactly the best at updating it, you know.
It looks fantastic.
You know, when I started it, I was like, I'm going to blog at least every other week. And then it was like once a month. And a couple of years on, now
it's like, when I get around to it.
It's like a quarter. And
yeah, it's been a while since I did that.
It's okay. 6 months. Awesome.
But so, the other thing you mentioned when we first talked was that yesterday was the anniversary of the repeal of Prohibition. So right. I had a few too many cocktails last night celebrating.
Hey. As you should on repeal day.
And one of the things that you said was it really wasn't that exciting.
You know, it wasn't. It was the official repeal of national prohibition. So at 5:32 p.m. on December 5th, Utah became the 36th state to ratify the 21st Amendment. So they cast the vote, so repeal was official. But in Detroit, we'd already repealed the beer law. So we were already drinking beer as early as April. We were the first state to ratify the 21st Amendment.
Wow. We were first drink again.
Yeah. We were in such a
hurry. We really had a thirst.
Within 12 hours of Congress saying, all right, we're going to put it to a vote. we need at least 2 years to get our majority so we can repeal it. Michigan
we're here.
Wow. Yeah. We are in.
Michigan was like, we're getting drinks.
Drinks around.
Well, yeah, I got to tell you, coming from northern Michigan, there's not a lot to do up there but drink.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So Michigan was like, yeah, that's great. Awesome. Fine. Julius Stroh poured the first beer to a giant group of 10,000 people.
Thanks, Julius.
Back in May, when beer became legal again, it was huge. Thousands of people partying in the streets. By December 5th, it was technically legal, but it was still up to the states. So some of the states could stay dry. Mm-hmm. So everyone knew Michigan was not going to stay dry. Mm-hmm. But we hadn't done all the work needed to put everything into effect. Right. The governor hadn't signed it and all of that stuff. So the newspaper reports the next day were like, there were only what they called 24 golden rule drunks, which basically means they were so drunk they had to be incarcerated just for being drunk.
Wow.
But only 24 arrests on repeal day. I mean,
that's
I
not bad.
Had
that's
more than that
I was going to say, I think we have that more on a daily basis.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we still had the ability to drink and hold our liquor at that point.
Yeah.
That's really.
Yeah.
So you talked about Stroh's. They had changed their beer making vats to ice cream vats at that point. So
they made ice cream. Yeah. They also made they made near beer, so 0.5% or less. So sort of like Euro Duels or mm-hmm. Coors Light or you know. So they had near beer, but they also made brewer's malted extract, which was supposedly for baking. And yeah, they made ice cream.
It's very good for breast
good
milk.
Good money, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because it would. When I had my baby in Germany, the Germans were like, oh, to get your breast milk to come in, you need to drink beer. It's like, okay. Uh-huh. They're like, non-alcoholic beer. Really? They're like, an hour before you feed, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were big advocates of beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They brought me some in the hospital.
People would always suggest people drink Guinness and stuff in England.
Guinness is good for you.
Yeah, Guinness is good for you.
It is. Yes. I have such a story that I haven't sent them yet.
There you go.
He's 10.
See, the new face of Guinness. So Stroh's made brewer's yeast, which could conveniently enough, it was supposed to be for baking and other products, but it sold extremely well during Prohibition.
Didn't they include like instructions that were like, whatever you do,
don't do this
especially at this specific.
Yeah. So this is one of my favorite things. It got so bad that grocers at one point, I think it was 1926, Michigan passed a law where grocers were supposed to interview all of their customers and make sure that the grapes that they were buying were for grapes and not to make wine.
Okay.
Which is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, how do you enforce that
right.
thing? But also, grape concentrate sold really well because they put a very large warning label on the can that said, warning, do not store in a cool, dark place for 3 weeks or it will turn into wine. Yeah. And that's how they got around it. So it was basically directions as a warning label.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was reading to Lee and Nick, before we got here, we had little VIP tickets for the Urgent for Surgeon.
You had to
event.
Read it to me because I was like, aww. I can't focus like, enough.
Oh,
to
I
read.
Didn't see them.
Well, I didn't see. So we had these little cards to get in, and it says, you know, Detroit members only.
Can you do the dramatic reading, Lisa?
I can't because I don't have it with me. Oh. I would.
Where is it?
I think it might be in my purse. It might be out. I don't know. Oh. So it was this little card, and on the back of it, of course, none of us noticed. I didn't notice until this morning because I was not driving here right. before I got in the car. Uh-huh. that there was a quote from a 1946 book by, I think the guy's name was Malcolm Bingay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he basically, the gist of it, though, was, yeah, Prohibition was so rough, it was hard to get liquor unless you walked into the nearest corner bar and yelled at the top of your lungs to get over the crowd of voices to order a beverage. Like, yeah, basically, you could get liquor anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There were two agents, probably two of the only honest Prohibition agents in the city of Detroit, that had a contest, Izzy Eisenstein and Mo Isley. And they had a contest to see who could get liquor the quickest. And when they got to Detroit, the contest was over because they got into a taxi and said, hey, where do I get booze around here? And the taxi driver handed them a bottle. So, yeah, it really was that easy.
So I was reading on your blog about the legal gist of Prohibition mm-hmm. and that it really wasn't actually legal to drink.
Yeah, I mean, it was legal to drink. That got a little bit iffy. So the Volstead Act, which is what put Prohibition into effect, put the 18th Amendment into effect. The Volstead Act made it illegal to buy, sell, manufacture, or transport alcohol.
So you could drink it if you could get a hold of it.
Exactly. And you could get a prescription for it. Doctors could prescribe.
But doctors were very popular, too.
That sounds very familiar with something that's going on nowadays.
I need some Vicodin.
Yeah.
I need some marijuana.
Yeah.
There are so many similarities between the two.
Interesting.
One of my favorite former speakeasies in Detroit actually was a dentist's office during Prohibition. And dentists, too, could prescribe up to a pint of whiskey every 10 days. So, you know, not enough to make a living off of it.
I would be going to visit my dentist every couple of weeks.
Yeah, I just can't shake it. It's weird.
TMJ must have been a big thing back then.
Yep. That's hilarious.
So, you know, Prohibition, I think, had different faces in different places. As you said, Detroit was really easy to get things. Mm-hmm. Now, down south, both of my grandfathers, which were... one was born right at the turn of the century and one was born in like 1913, but they both ran liquor. Mm-hmm. They were both rum runners. And there's a story that my dad absolutely hated when my grandmother would tell it because my grandfather, we called him Pops ran liquor on the side and he had a lady partner because you wouldn't drive around with a lady in the car down south and be transporting liquor. You wouldn't put a lady in that situation. So they would get in there.
Of course not.
She was the cover. So they would dress up in their Sunday finery and they would go run.
Just going out for a ride.
White Lightning. Yeah. Right. Just going for a Sunday. We're dating. Yeah. And well, of course, the cops got gist of this. And there was a big car race. They were probably going, 30 miles an hour?
And breakneck speed there.
This is near Pensacola, Florida, and they got into this major accident, and everybody got hurt, and he broke his arm and everything. My grandmother was very dramatic. Don't know where I get that from. And at the end of the story, she always said, that was the night that blood and liquor ran together.
That needs to be a line in a story.
Yes, it does.
That needs to be a line in a story. Good.
And every time she do it, I'm like on the edge of my seat listening to this fascinating story, and I'm probably five. Right. Oh, listening to my grandfather be. I know.
Oh my God.
And my dad's like, oh my God, Mom, you have to be so dramatic.
Well, and I have a friend from Grosse Pointe whose grandfather was a bootlegger who would run stuff over from Canada and eventually spent some time in jail.
Oh.
So it was like a whole everybody was doing it, right? And I'm from Northern Michigan, so I'm from Sheboygan. So the rumor is that the Purple Gang, they would boat from here to Chicago and in the Sheboygan River, which is at the tip of the mitt. It's the middle finger. You go into the Sheboygan River and there was a boathouse. And the rumor was that the Purple Gang would hide out in the boathouse, you know, before they went over to the Chicago side and came back and forth. I don't know if that's true.
So if Sheboygan is at the top of the middle finger, if I wanted to, if I wanted to secretly say fuck you, I would say Sheboygan you.
Or just Sheboygan.
Sheboygan.
We've got, we call it Sheboygie Land.
Oh boy.
Nice. Not so much fun to visit, but it's fun to say.
It is.
No,
fun
it's
to
great
say.
Fun to visit. It's just horrible to grow up there.
Okay.
No, tons of people love growing up there. I grew up in the woods and I enjoy hiking and stuff, but I am not a skier. I hate the cold. And I was always a big lights, big city kind of person. Like I'm going somewhere with light. So I moved into Detroit. My parents were like, well, that's not really surprising. Her,
yeah,
we can't keep her away from lights and, you know, theater and activities.
Yeah.
Kind of like a magpie.
Yeah. I used to joke when I lived in the city, I grew up listening to coyotes howl when I fell asleep. And then when I moved into Detroit, it was sirens and whatever. It's like you get
crickets.
Used to it.
Yeah.
Urban crickets.
Yeah.
Urban
definitely.
So, Prohibition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you said your favorite speakeasy was a dentist office. Were speakeasies, I mean, I think we have this vision because of movies and stuff that speakeasies were like the back of a bar, but they were kind of like wherever, right?
They were anything. It could be anything from, you know, you get enough people together and if you sell liquor in someone's living room, that's a speakeasy or a blind pig.
I found one in a house I was looking at over by the Detroit Golf Club.
Yeah.
Big white house. Really cool. We went downstairs and all of a sudden you hear Patrick, we're using our phones to see around, you know, because it's all been stripped. And he was like, there's a speakeasy down here. And my son is like, what's that? I'll explain it to you later. But, it was really cool.
Blood and liquor.
that's going to be the name of this podcast. Well, blood and liquor.
Blood and liquor.
Well, and I lived in New Center and my condo faced Virginia Park and some of the old houses in Virginia Park were blind pigs.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
Was,
yeah.
They were always
I had never
rated.
Heard of blind pig until I came up here.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah, I've never
it's
heard
a Michigan
that.
Phrase. I think
they use it.
You didn't hear that
in
back
South,
in good old England.
Not really. No, I actually just pictured a pig with eyesight problems. I never.
Yeah,
really
I wonder why. I guess
actually.
It's blind. Well, because nobody.
So the origin.
Saw it? What is the origin of it?
Yes. Okay, cool.
We have an expert here. Let's ask her.
It's slightly gross and grisly, and not exactly approved by the ASPCA. But
nice. Okay.
One of the weird regulations. So prohibition went in. A lot of states went dry before. We went dry nationally. And there were all sorts of ways that people tried to regulate and get people to stop selling and buying liquor. And one of them was, and you still see it in some states and countries, you can't serve alcohol unless you also serve food.
Right.
So a lot of people would pass around a moldy sandwich and you would pay $50
to just use the same sandwich.
For the sandwich. Exactly. Tom's Tavern was one of those, actually.
Oh, really?
It was a lunch counter.
I've been there.
Yes. But another regulation was that you couldn't pay for alcohol. So, but you could, the loophole in the law was you could have a complimentary drink if you went to go see something else. If you went to see a show, you paid 50 cents to see the show, and you got a complimentary drink. So they would have a blind pig.
I think my dad tried to do that out of his garage.
As the star attraction.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And you would pay 50 cents to see the blind pig, and you would get a complimentary drink.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's where they think the term came
that's
from.
That's funny.
So they didn't just put, like, X's over his eyes.
Or just give him some shades.
Yeah.
Just give him, like, some dark glasses and...
So maybe in the South they had a blind tiger that they were going
maybe,
to check out.
Yeah. I hosted poetry.
I mean, I'm hoping it's like a taxidermied one.
Oh, God. See, I hosted poetry for a little while on the West Side, right on in like in 2007, 2008. And we pretty much did the same thing.
Yeah.
It was Sunday nights because we had shows running five nights a week. And we would... Sunday night would be the night where we would get a little bit of like food. We would have a caterer or somebody come in, like do a pan of chicken wings, do a pan of spaghetti, you know, some salad, right? Like the classic like church luncheon sort of whatever, super cheap. Hey, my grandma can throw this together for us for $20. And then we would buy like a gallon of something, make some jungle juice or something like that. Yep. And there is your drink, your complimentary drink. And that was like with your $5. Mm-hmm. And if you, I think if you bought like something else, if you could add an extra drink for a, if you donated to the space.
Yes. Yeah.
So with your donation with your to donation. The space, yeah. you get your complimentary wine, glass of wine or mixed drink.
Yep. Well, when we went to the aquarium, we got complimentary beverages for buying our ticket.
Right.
Which absolutely. Was completely unexpected and quite nice. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I also liked the fact that you guys use a culinary institute for the catering.
Right.
Which
yeah.
is really, really nice
the
as well.
The fabulous culinary stylings of Steve Maclay. And
I don't
his
know where he got
Mary...
those grapes, but they were amazing.
Everything
grapes.
Was amazing.
It was really delicious.
I wish I could confirm that because he plastered strawberries and pineapple over every all of the fruit.
Yeah,
so I'm
if
like,
you'd
Steve!
Like to, if you want to kill Nick, the way to do that is strawberries and pineapple.
Oh,
just
wow. I didn't
out
know.
There. Yeah.
But
totally
now you
allergic.
Do, and you'll remember yeah. that. It'll be great.
Or probably not, because my brain is like Swiss cheese.
So no cocktails for Nick with strawberries.
Yeah, so my story, my dad's dead, so I guess there's no worries in saying this now, but he had a Coke machine in his garage, and he would have... You could get a beer out of the Coke machine for a donation, but the donation you had to put in to get the beer out. So he was really selling beer.
Yeah. That's a beer vending machine.
Yeah.
Exactly. Basically,
exactly.
Yeah.
But he's like, well, it's a.
It's just a clever donate. Way of doing
you
the
how
donation.
It works? Yeah. Do it like this.
All right. So, Mickey, how did you get interested in Prohibition and the
Yeah, did somebody
history?
Give you some booze and you're like, whoa, what if you couldn't have this?
My grandmother? Yeah. yeah. Well, a long time ago, well, really about 4 years ago, I was leading tours of Detroit. For the Detroit Bus Company.
Oh, okay.
So I decided, strangely enough, I was in Texas for a month. I spent a month in Waco, Texas.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah. That'll drive anyone to drink. I was in Waco for a fellowship at Baylor University in their research library. So I spent all day in the library where, like, you have to check in all your belongings and they check to make sure that you didn't bring a Tic Tac or a pen or anything in.
Heaven
and
forbid.
I was studying Victorianists and Elizabeth Barrett Browning.
Oh my
but
gosh.
At the same time, at night, I was researching Prohibition because I figured Detroit, you know, has a decent history. And I'd sort of known and heard a little bit. Everyone grows up hearing about the Purple Gang.
Mm-hmm.
So it really just started designing a tour. And there was no way that one tour could encompass all of it. And the more I researched and the more I researched, the more I realized no one has compiled all of this stuff into one place, which is a shame. There's a fair amount of research out there, but not in one single. Like, there's a book on the Purple Gang, you know, mm-hmm. there's a couple other things, but nothing that is a history of Detroit during Prohibition. So by the time I realized that the more I searched, the more I was finding stuff that I had written, I was like, well, I guess I better write this down. So...
Cool. And you have a book that is going to be coming out.
Yes.
In the spring?
In the spring. I'm hoping for late April, but it may be May when it comes out. It's called Wicked Detroit. It's a biography of Detroit's jerks.
Awesome. Nice.
Nice.
We love jerks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it covers a period more than just Prohibition. It covers
Yeah, it's pretty much the last chapter is about one of the most awful people in Detroit's history, our mayor during part of Prohibition. Well, for all of 9 months before he got recalled. But other than that, it starts with Cadillac. So Cadillac,
cool.
He was kind of a dick.
Couple, oh yeah.
God, yeah.
The natives thought so.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much.
So the mayor was recalled. Was that the gentleman who I don't know if you know Karen? So I just read Karen's book, mm-hmm. but and there was a guy who was really in all kinds of trouble for fraud and paying people off.
Let's see, what year was this? Bowles was recalled in 1930. So we had, you know. Kwame Kilpatrick was not the first mayor in Detroit's history to have done some shady stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I know. Dun, dun, dun.
Wow. Shocking.
It's almost like corruption is a thing. So, it is endemic.
Charles Bowles basically, he got elected basically on the backs of the KKK.
Oh,
it went downhill
classy.
From there.
Because America. Basically.
Yeah. Because America with a K.
America.
Yeah. And he spent all of 9 months in office. And while he was in office, basically the first thing he did was fire the entire police department, put his own guy in, opened up all the gambling houses. You could see from his office in the city county building, you could see his favorite speakeasy right across the street.
Nice.
Which stayed
That's
open.
Delightful.
Just for him. So that, that combined with the fact that crime was absolutely rampant. It was the Depression now, so, not
people
so much fun anymore when people were getting shot in the streets.
Mm-hmm. And eating mustard sandwiches. I just remember hearing these ladies talk about they will never eat mustard again. I think they were friends of my great aunts and stuff. Don't give me mustard. When we were kids, all we had was mustard and biscuits. Oh, my God.
Wow.
And with a southern accent, not with that one.
So Bowles basically there was a massive recall election. He got kicked out. We got Frank Murphy out of the deal. So
we got our Hall of Justice.
Yes.
And we just talked about Bowles. Bras, bitches, and Bowles.
There you go. Beautiful.
So, and then you're also, did you say you're writing another book? You're in the process of writing?
Yeah, so I've been writing this Prohibition book, which is very specifically, it's called City on a Still.
Oh, I like it.
I love it. it's a history of Detroit during Prohibition.
When is that? When are you looking to release that?
God. I'm
still writing it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's a much more lengthy and academic endeavor than the first one. Wicked Detroit is, it's a fun book. And it will be, I hope, a quick, easy read.
So is Wicked Detroit your first book?
Yes.
Okay.
Not the first one I started, but the first one I finished.
Yeah. Well,
congratulations.
I have several I've started in various way, shape, or form.
That sounds really exciting. Would you come back and talk about that one once it does get released, Wicked?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be
lots
would
of
be
lots
magical.
Of fun stories about Detroit's assholes.
I love Potter biographies. I mean, that was one of the fundamental things of history, because that's what Plutarch was writing, was like little vignettes of people's lives and stuff. And actually, if you like British history, check out Joe Brand's book, A Load of Old Balls, which is actually just about men
like
in history.
We need to have on.
It would be fun just to talk about historical assholes.
Yes.
I found my people.
We thought you knew. It's more
now the realization. This is the Damascus Road.
I think we might need to have a book club on.
Oh my God!
Assholes.
On this book that you mentioned, the
Load of Old Balls.
Load of Old Balls and Wicked Detroit and some other.
Sounds good.
Like,
can you read it to me?
Well, yeah, we probably don't have an audiobook. I'll record it for you. I'll do the audiobook.
Can you do the audiobook for me? Because that would be awesome.
So I did try really hard to get my publisher to agree that the subtitle of Wicked Detroit would be Charlatans and Shitheels of Old Detroit. And they didn't agree. So now go. He's like, that's not going to play in the gift shops very well.
No, but it would be great in the podcast world. Yeah. Charlatans and Shitheels. I think you should definitely use that as the name of your podcast.
You've been talking about doing a podcast.
Yeah. So my podcasting partner and I, we keep finding like, I have time now to do it. No, I have time now to do it. So we've got it all saved. We're ready to go with Detroit Drinks History, which is basically a history of drinking in Detroit.
Nice.
Usually each episode will have a theme. So we're going to do baseball and drinking in Detroit.
Fun.
Yeah. Nice.
So,
well, we talked a little bit about possibly doing it in a bar. If you did, I'm sure we could find you an audience.
Oh, yes. No doubt.
That would be awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
So fantastic.
For a donation.
We'll possibly bring in a stuffed pig. It'll
that'll
be
get
great.
Us away from the broadcasting license.
Right.
I think. Yeah.
That's amazing. Do you have anything coming up, by the way?
Do I have anything coming up? I am making my base debut at Mittenfest on New Year's Eve in, I believe it's Ann Arbor.
Bass debut, like bass guitar?
I'm playing bass guitar, with Raven Love and the 27s. They are good friends of mine. They were performers at the Cosmic Slap Music Festival. And their bass player is going to be out of town. So I am extremely excited to be impersonating a bass player with my friends in Raven Love and the 27. So I'm 27.
I think the bass guitar is very sexy.
I do too.
You can just kind of really lean back into it and get into a groove with it. You don't have to be, you can be fancy. You don't have to be super fancy. I mean, the bass player in Metallica right now is just.
Oh God. He's. Yeah.
Have you heard his son?
No.
Oh, okay, we'll talk about that another time.
He has a Metallica crush. So when did you say? In Ann Arbor?
Yes, that's New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. Yes. Okay, I'm not gonna be going anywhere. That's, I don't drive. Yeah. I don't drive on New Year's Eve.
This is my first time in like 10 years leaving the house on New Year's.
I'm in my pajamas and maybe I stay awake till midnight. Maybe
me too. Like this should let everybody know how much I love this band and how much I love my friends. I'm leaving the house
and I'm
on
driving
New Year's.
On the road.
Yes, I'm driving 30 minutes away from my own home.
Yeah, you're putting your life at risk, really, for these people.
I am.
They should
I am.
Appreciate that.
I am. And I'm far away from 27, but I'm still 27, so I'd like to say
that. Well, we all are. So, is there anything else going on in town that we know about that we should plug?
Listen, I got through Noel Night, and that was like
you made it. Congratulations.
The big thing. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was a fun Noel Night,
it
obviously.
It was interesting. I had no idea what was happening outside our door. Because it was still
And you know the young gentleman who was caught, so he was arrested. Good. It was a 16-year-old.
Yeah. And so, there were three people injured.
Four.
Yeah.
Fourth one went to the hospital
after
the fact.
That's right.
But they were all 15 to 19, and so now the discussion is, do they have a curfew during Noel Night festivities?
It was 7:45.
Yeah,
right.
So like you were like, what? Exactly. All kids have to be in the
All kids have to be by dark.
It's a family event. Like,
how about we give kids something to do other than trying to find violence and things of that nature, so that when they can come appreciate these cultural events, they are not prone to, you know,
just getting in a tiff,
ridiculous interactions and fisticuffs and things of that nature. So.
And I don't know. I was planning on going down, but ended up not going down because I was doing yard work and got sidetracked and everything, and then I was like, I'm just too tired and not the right year to go down anyway. But one of the things that should be mentioned is that even though this happened this year, it's not like Noel Night's been going on for years.
45 years.
So the fact that, you know, there was this issue this year does not mean that, you know, it's a terrifying event or whatever. It's like, you know, that things happen.
And still a major city, everybody.
We still have some changes to make. We have we have to take care of our children and make them feel safe enough not to bring down a firearm.
Really?
You know? There's more of a backstory to, I'm sure there's a backstory there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
definitely
a cry for help.
Yes.
But now that's done. Mm-hmm. And we had a Santa Claus out in front of Busted again.
Ooh.
We have a Santa every year. People come and take pictures, and it's Rotary sponsored. Pretty much to let people know also that Rotary is there. It's just a good way of saying, hey, we're here. Bring your kids. We had people come. This was their fourth year coming to see our Santa. And I thought that was really, really fun because, you know, he's busy right now.
For him to
actually take time to come down and Noel Night in front of Busted was pretty cool.
Yeah. And there was no Krampus?
There was no Krampus.
Sadly, no Krampus. We will work on that for next year. That we need to.
That'll
I have a Krampus out that I made somewhere. Like,
maybe don't do that one outside Busted. Maybe.
Maybe. Spankings.
People love it.
Speakeasy.
There you go.
Speakeasy.
Well, spankeasy.
So I haven't really looked as to what's going on. I mean, obviously we have the holidays coming up.
Yeah.
I don't know what he just said, and I don't want to know.
We do have the holidays coming up. We aren't going to be here every week during the holidays. My mother's getting married.
Yes,
congratulations. That's right.
My mother is getting married the first week in January. Apparently, it was going to be a small ceremony.
It's not going to be small, is it?
Probably not.
No, it's not.
No, two 81-year-old people getting married, and they are so cute.
Oh my God.
what?
I know, they're so cute. And you would look at them and go, what? They're 60, big deal. But no, they're 81. They just look great. Yes. And they're very active and
so,
and
but
funny.
You will be, so you'll be, where are they getting married? North Carolina?
Georgia.
Yes. So she'll be in the South.
I'll be in Georgia. I'll be nice. Warm.
Where are you going to be in Georgia?
Little town called Rockmart.
Okay.
Tiny little.
Right on. My people are from Rome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah. We were talking
you
about.
You and REM.
Yeah.
I know, right? Me and Michael Stipe. Yeah. I love that place.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that, but that week I probably will be down.
Which is the week.
Putting out fires.
So we've got, that's like, I think the 3rd, and then the 27th is right after Christmas. So right. We may not be doing.
We'll see. Maybe we'll come for Christmas and.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Do some Christmas traditional things here in front of the microphone.
Yeah, I really haven't been paying attention to what's going on because we've all been kind of focused on Noel night and then.
Noel night and Urgent for Sturgeon. I mean, last week was really, really busy for all of us here at the table. Deka was playing and it was amazing.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. So really
and good. By now, as long as the scheduled post should look, if you look on our webpage or on the Facebook page, there are pictures from the evening.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And so we got a picture of Shades. So the picture of Shades is bad because I took it with my phone. The picture of Nick and
I
me is way
it.
Better because it was, which media company
that would
was
be,
there?
That would be Valentine. They had their own camera woman.
Yeah, I talked to them and I can't remember who they were with. It was...
Yeah.
Metro Media or something. They were going to email me and they didn't. So I can't give them credit because I don't remember which media company they were with. But so that one looks much better because it was taken by a professional.
Yes.
It's a beautiful picture, but Shades did great. It's hard to get a bad picture of Shades.
Yeah. Well, he had not slept in 2 days, so he was looking a little tired. But his artwork was really
beautiful.
Cool. It was like a little, like the profile view of a sturgeon.
Mm-hmm.
They're so
cool.
Cute.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so ugly. They're cute. They look like they're little drawn creatures.
They're like adorable little zombie fish, basically.
Yeah.
Their eyes are dead, and you know, but they're still adorable.
And then we got to see the snapping turtle on our way out. Tongue.
Yeah, look, that tongue was disgusting.
The worm tongue.
Great.
He had an attitude with me, the snapping turtle.
Don't stick your finger in there.
No, I would not. No, I would not.
Yeah.
No.
So that was fun. I want to thank everybody for coming. Mickey, thank you for coming.
Sure.
Your blog is cool. And
yes.
I put a link to that on our Facebook page already.
Good.
So we'll make sure we get all that on Instagram and everywhere else. And yes.
Where can we find you again? I know you have a Twitter handle.
I do. It's at Prohibit Detroit.
And your blog is?
ProhibitionDetroit.com.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I think we need to talk more about Prohibition.
I think
there's
too.
So many more things we can talk about. I'd like to talk about different types of stills, the different types of liquors that they had, the different types of clothes.
There was like the bathtub gin. Were a lot of people making stuff in their bathtubs or were they
Fair
just getting
amount.
It from California or from,
I mean,
from Canada? California.
Most of it was Canada. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't hard. Hamtramck Historical Museum has a still that they found in the 60s.
Really?
Yeah.
You may have to take a trip to Hamtramck.
Yeah.
It's so far away.
Field trip.
Yeah. I think I've got up on the website in my Hamtramck post, there's a picture of it.
Oh, fun.
So,
there's some different things that I've become, I have the opportunity to go see. And one of them, so we'll do some more out and about videos and live things on the Facebook page. But one thing that's going to be coming up soon is the B. Siegel building. Over at 7 Mile and Livernois, right on the corner. That was really the anchor for the Avenue of Fashion was the B. Siegel building. And it, you know, when it closed down and people took over there's like a dollar store or everything a dollar was the last iteration of that. But the basement, it's like a time capsule, apparently.
Wow.
And so I talked to the dude who owns it that's going to be renovating it. And he said, the layaway counter still down there. Everything is in place.
Please. Oh my God.
And I asked him and he was like, we have to do it sooner rather than later. So I'm going to
pull it all out, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to have to, but because it has to be abated and, asbestos tile and all that.
Right, yeah.
But we can go down there. We just have to go down like in construction wear, which is really nice.
I got a hard hat.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I have respirators.
I got steel toe boots, baby. Let's go. So we'll do a Facebook Live down there. And if anybody has something historic that they'd like us to go and cover and check it out, we are all about just some of the fun, funky things that you can find in the city of Detroit because there's so much to uncover.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We are really lucky to live in a city with such deep history.
Yeah.
I mean, from Cadillac and the natives and the forts to the Prohibition being the Paris of the Midwest,
like the architecture and the art.
The amazing architecture we got. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we should delve into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, let's do it. So Bras, Bitches, and Balls will be taking on, you know, it's always different here. We're always different, but we always have to talk about bras. I want to end with letting you know, I put up some posts about bras in during the time of Prohibition and some of the styles. The crazy thing is I have bras that still look like that. It's they still work, but you don't have to make them yourself. So we can sell them to you. But Deke, Alyssa, Mickey, Nick, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us again at Podcast Detroit. And I think they will put in the vomit spots for us later and splice it in. Did Dave tell us how to turn off?
He did not. Okay. We're just going to flounder around in the dark.
I think there's a red button that's an off button there. No, on the computer. That's what made it live. But we can turn off Facebook Live.
Yes, sir.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
See you later. Have fun. You have to tell. There you go. All right.
Okay.
Ding. Ding. But then you have to post it, so I'll go over there and post it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, my back. Awesome. Thank you. Yes. Knock everything down.
There we go. That cup's been waiting.
Yeah. All right. So down here, I think I just hit the button.
It's fine.
And you have to hit both of them. So hit. You highlight the top when it turned off. Now highlight the bottom, the blue one. And then
Still not sure
where
to put
it. Yeah.
Nope.
We're still live?
No, we're not.
Oh, you got it.
The record's. Mm-hmm.